Okay, first of all, this year is dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas Rochel Leia Bas Reb Chaim Zvi. And I want to thank in advance Lala, who is substituting for Libby. And I'm sure that you will do at least as good a job as Libby. Okay, let's go back once again to the beginning of Klal Dalet in the Gemara. I understand that last week's shiur was quite technical, and this shiur might also be a little bit technical, but in order to understand thoroughly the Goyin, then we have to understand the Ari and the Goyin's interpretation of the Ari. Once again, let's begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph in the Klolim of the Goyin, Perek Klal Dalet, and it begins, I guess, on line 98. Writes the Goy, says the Goy, Vachachma, the wisdom, Ashebora bo habere yisboch beisabriya, the wisdom with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Haisa begila beisidava shidibra habere arz, was clearly intelligible with respect to the utterances, the pronouncements which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made at the time of the Briya. And so too was the Chachma. In other words, the Chachma was fully illuminated at the time of the Briya. Immediately after the creation, so immediately after the point of the first of the utterance of the creation, so this Chachma and this Dibur, in fact, disconnected from the created object, created phenomenon. Shezeh ha-chokhma v'adibah hu eno davut ba. So that now the chokhma and dibah v'chadosh baruch hu are disconnected from the world. Ach b'kom al-kom b'nisha reshima k'tzatz. Nonetheless, an impression remained in the world. Shamaske lo isi adav yochel ha-hasim so izu ha-chokhma. A person is masculine on this thing, which means a person, in fact, explores and tries to understand intellectually. He can, in fact, discover this wisdom. V'haynu ayidei t'mun ha-zahadavar, and through the structure, the way the created thing appears to us. V'koyach harot harotzein abayin nishar b'lekimo shalai zahadavar b'zei yachol ahavin chok b'zabere b'b'yaz kol echad l'p'yaz zahadzeichalai. So basically, a person, by studying the world, can come to recover the Chachma, the wisdom of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and all this is according to his intellectual level. V'chein v'shkachosi zboach, says the Goyin, the parallel situation exists with respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence, his Hashkacha, as well as his Dibur and Chachma. Be'ez ha'briya shal oisi ha'dova ha'ashkacha ha'loisi dova be'pratos b'shkacha giluya. Well, at the moment of creation, God's providence was in fact revealed openly with respect to the created world. But teichav achakach, immediately after the first moment of creation, nistalek min adav hashgacha, God's providence somehow also became disconnected from the created world. Achnishtay hashgacha mu'etes b'pchinas v'shimoi. But nonetheless, God's providence remains in the created world as a type, as an reshimoi, as an impression. So therefore, this impression remains in the physical world, that the physical world, in fact, does not cease to exist. In other words, this process of creation and really of disconnection of God's wisdom, his speech, and his providence, that is, his chachba, dibra, rashkacha, this act of disconnection is called shvira. Shemtechila ha'isip rashkacha berube, right? Ba'oid, because when Kosh Bochu, at the moment of creation, God's providence was very much a part of the physical created world, it was, in fact, maximal. V'yachachba ha'isip the gulim ma'oid, and God's wisdom was quite apparent and illuminating. God's providence, after the first moment of creation, disconnects itself from the world. First his Hashkacha, and also to his Chachma. What's left of the created world is the impression of God's providence and of His wisdom. Goes on the going, we're on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis, line 113, the third line on the page, V'cheinu tamid b'chol yoyim. And this takes place every single day, says the going. This is a repeated process that occurs every day. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashkacha is illuminating, it's revealed, that's called the Ispashtus, the of His Chesed, the spreading out of His Chesed, of His mercy. And in the act of siluk, which means the disconnecting, the removal, there's this Ispashtus, a spreading out. And then the siluk is removal. And at the time that the hashkacha and the chachma, God's providence and wisdom, are removed, that's called shvira, that's called the breaking, vamisa, that's called death. And as a result of that, shakli yodim badregasa, the kli, the vessel, which corresponds to the creation, which contained the light, it descends mibadregasa from its level, and therefore, in fact, becomes on a very low, on a lower level. It is not as spiritual as it was when it first contained the light, which illuminated it. And the light that's in the was in the kli. In fact, that light removes itself and goes above. But nonetheless, the light which leaves the kli still exists. B'pchinas makif. Makif means to surround. It exists from far. Exist on a transcendental level. It illuminates the kli, but from far away. Because of this illumination, because of this, the kli, because of this illumination from far, the kli can now return back to its root, back to the state where, in fact, the light was contained within the kli in its full force, and that would be a return to the initial hashkacha, providence, chachma, wisdom, and Dibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the going goes along and makes a mashal, a metaphor, to what happens through Limud HaTorah. Okay, now, last week we focused on the concept of Shvira, and we elaborated the very fundamental dispute, the machlokes between the Goyim and the Ari, understanding the Shvira, that according to the Ari, the Shvira was actually a little shattering of the Kelim, whereas according to the Goyim, it was a parting, it was a removal of God's illumination and His Chachma, right, from the Kli. The result of which being that according to the Ari, the physical world contained nothing but the shattered Kelim, whereas for the Goyim, the physical world basically remained something physical, which is now not inherently spiritual. Its spirituality has left it, it remains a physical object, with perhaps an impression that remains on the physical world, allowing man to understand it intellectually and to somehow recover the initial wisdom and providence which was present, inherent in the physical world at the time of creation. The key words which are important in this section are what's called rishima, the impression. The Goyim introduces the concept of impression. When light leaves, there's an impression. And then there's a concept of what's called hispashtus, a spreading out of light. And then there's a concept here called siluk, a removal of light, a removal of hashkacha, removal of chokhmah. And then there's a concept here of chesed. Chesed refers to the hispashtus, the spreading out of Kodesh Baruch Hu's illumination of His chokhmah. Now, the words of the Goyim in this perek are really built upon the Ari. Those of you who have learned Chumash will remember from Parshas Vayetze, Vayetze Yankim Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana, and Rashi brings a very famous Chazal. Those of you who have learned Chumash and Rashi remember the famous Chazal, that when a tzaddik leaves, a place, he leaves a roshim. And even though, of course, the pshat of the medrash, which Rashi brings, Aloysha means the people somehow feel the lack of his presence. Nonetheless, Al-Pi Kabbalah, the Roshim has a very specific and technical Kabbalistic meaning, which in Mitzvah Shem we will explain in a second. Now, the other aspects of his Pashtus and Siluk, which the Goyim is referring to, are also in Pashtus Vayetzeh. In Pashtus Vayetzeh, Yaakov Avinu, after the whole episode of the Tzoi of the sheep with Lavan, tells to his wives, Rachel and Leah, they had a dream, and he saw the sheep, right, coming in his dream, Akudim, Nikudim, Uverudim. Now, those of you who have had difficulty understanding the sheep of the Rishayim and understanding exactly what was going on with Yaakov and Lavan with regard to the sheep, and certainly the understanding of the terms Akudim, Nikudim, Uverudim, as they apply in that parasha, perhaps you'll have an easier time with the Kabbalistic interpretation. Now, the sheep of Yaakov Avinu, Akudim Nekudim Vudim, basically gives rise to an entire part of the Etz Chaim of the Ari. What's interesting is, I'd like to mention that the Zoya here does not seem to be as substantial as one would expect. Nonetheless, the Arizal, in this Eitz Chaim, beginning on Daf Chav Dalet, has an entire section called Shar HaAkudim. Shar HaAkudim. And in fact, all of what the Goyen has to say in this parak is actually based upon the Shar HaAkudim of the Ari. Now what I'm going to do is, I hope the sheets have reached you. We certainly sent them out through Na'aleh. I hope they've reached you so you can actually look on with me. If in fact they haven't reached you, then this will remain in the Vaila. In the meanwhile, Teresh Bilpeh. And when you meet Hashem, you chaza over the Shia, then it will once again become a Teresh Mitzav. Okay? Now, I'm reading from the Ari on Daf Chavdalet Amud Gimel. In other words, since in the Eitz Chaim, the published edition of the Eitz Chaim, there are two columns on each side of the page. So the two columns on the first side of Chavdal are Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. And the two columns on the second side are Chavdalet Amud Gimel and Chavdalet Amud Dalet. I see that the Arabic numeral at the top of the right-hand top corner of the page is page 48. Now, Akudim, Akud, comes from the word Akedas Yitzchak. Akud means to bind, to place something within something else. The binding of Isaac is called Akedas Yitzchak. What the Ari is explaining is that for the first time after the creation of the world, then in fact, there's a movement, there's a process by which we're going to have what's called Kelim. We're going to have vessels. In other words, up until now, in the creation of the world, there's only light, there's only aura. Of course, the purpose of creation is to create a world. Creating a world somehow means, in a general conceptual sense, placing light within a vessel, placing aura within a kli. The Ari now describes the first time that, in fact, there appear kelim, there appear vessels, which are created in order to contain the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ari, on Chav Dalet Amud Gimel, I'm in the second line, Mikan Hiskil, middle of the line, Lishavis Bechinas Kelim. We have now the beginning of the creation of vessels, of Kelim. Elashem Zakim Betachlis HaZakus. But the Kelim here are very, very thin. In other words, they're very pure. They're almost not, they're non-physical. So therefore what we have here is only one kli. We don't have many kelim. We only have one kli. This is the first attempt in the creation to have kelim, to have vessels. But of course the lights are divided into 10, corresponding to the 10 spheres. These lights which are meant now to be placed in the vessel, are called akodim. Uperosh ha'inya. Now, what do you mean perosh ha'inya? What does this mean? So here comes the Ari and goes back to the Chumash. Kinei kasiv, it says in Parshas Vayetze, Eira b'choloi, Yaakov Avinu says to Rachel, I saw in a dream, Vinei ha'tudim ha'ilam ha'atzoim, akudim, nekudim, uvrudim. So Yaakov Avinu says to Rachel and Leah, he sees the tzoim that are coming, akudim, nekudim, uvrudim. V'gam kasiv, it also says, ki ra'isi es kol asher lovim oisalach. The Malach tells Yaakov Avinu, I see everything that Lavan is coming to do to you. Uve pasuk zeh, says the Ari, in this verse, in this pasuk, Robert's called b'chidas elu sha'anu medavim kan. All of the details of akudim, says the Ari, are alluded to in this pasuk. Ki Lavan hu soit luvan ha'el yoin. Lavan, believe it or not, is called the leiben ha'el yoin. He's called Adam Kadmon. Lavan in this pasuk is the highest world. Ashur koidim kol atzilus hazeh. In fact, Lavan precedes the world of atzilus. Let's go back and explain that there are four worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. Asiya is the most physical of the worlds. Atzilus is the most spiritual of the worlds. And atzilus, God is at one, kiviyochel, with his creations, to use the lashon of the Sefer Yitzira. Ak, Adam Kadmon, is higher than atzilus. Who is Adam Kadmon? None less than Lavan. Lavan is Adam Kadmon. Ki Lavan who soid loydana elgin ashu koidim kol atzilus. Hazeh. Lavan is before the world of atzilus. In other words, what the Ari now is going to tell us is that in the psukim of Parshas Vayetze, we have the creation of the oilam atzilus. Yaakov Avinu, through the tzayim, is alluding to, or there's an allusion in the Psukim to the creation of the Olam Atzilus. And what does it mean, Kol Asher Lavan Oisalach? That means everything Lavan is doing to you. Says the Ari, for Oisah Kol Elo Abchina Shem Akudim Akudim Avrudim, that Lavan is creating this process of Akudim Akudim Avrudim, L'Tzoyach Atzilus, and this is for the purpose of Atzilus, Yatzalach Rehem Asher Unikom Mishim Yankim Biskul Bakudim. So now we'll begin with Akudim. Kihema or Hayetzmi Ped Adam Katman, etc., etc. So therefore, says the Ari, is that the Oilam HaKudim, right, is the beginning of the creation of Atzilus, right? And this is called a Kudim for the Loshon of a Yakudis Yitzchak, which is the Loshon of Kshira, that the Oilam, the spiritual eyes come together in a Kli. Okay? And this is the first creation of the Kli. Now, so Akudim represents the first initial creation of Atzilus, where there's a Kli, and therefore Atzilus now contains spiritual Kelim, which contain the even more spiritual lights, which will construct the structure and the spiritual hierarchy in Atzilus. Now, what I want to do is that, in fact, these Oiris, these lights, are mispashet, into the Kli, into the Kelim, or into other lights, which form the Kelim, and then the Oiris and the Oilam HaKudim, the light on the Kudim, are mistalek, they're removed. And that's what the Ari says in Daf Chav Vav Amud Dalet, the beginning of Perek Hei, Ma'adur Tanyamna, Uvnevar Ata Iyin Chazaros V'Salkusa L'mayla. We explain how the Oiris, the lights, are removed, the mistalek above. Through the istalkus of the oiris, through the removal of the oiris, what do we have? Masu ha-kelim, the kelim are made. Va'inyanu, it says there, the explanation is, the idea is, ki kasher nis'alu ha-oiris l'mayla, when the lights go up back above, this is similar to what the Goyim is saying, nish'ar l'mato or avagas, what's left is a thick, less spiritual light, v'hu b'chinas ha'kli, and this is a type of a kli. V'nei yesh b'teva oiris l'hashe roishim shalahim. This is the roishim. In other words, the kelim will leave a roishim, which is a thicker light, which is made the physical kli. Now, in fact, There he goes on and explains this even further. If we go over here to Chav Ches Amud Bet, the second paragraph, goes on nearly. He named this Baalano Ahide Shnei Agdomis Eino Echa Kelim Shal Asfiras Ap Eis Chazeroson Or Eisem Vistalkum El Hatzil Al Kimze Yech Behem Shnei Mini Oires. There are two types of light, right? Through the Oires go back up again. Echa Nikar Or Chayzer. The type of light that goes back is called Or Chayzer. In other words, there was his Pashtus, a spreading out of light, and then the light goes back up. That's called Istalkus. For what din? This is din. Vasheni or hanisha b'kli, and the second is the or that remains in the kli, hanika rishima, that's called the rishima. And that's called or yasha. Furachamim, and this is chesed. That's what the Ari says in Chav Ches, Amud Beis. And then, finally, the last maramakim, which I will present to you, is on Chav Tes, Amud Beis, the second paragraph, v'hine. Sorg lahavin ma'oida misis ha'inyin panu v'ocha ki ba'os yiku es pashtus v'istalkus. Here the Ari uses explicitly the terminology of his pashtus v'istalkus. And his pashtus is called or. His pashtus is called or yoyshev. And his talkus is called what? Or choyzer. And this is din rachamim, or yoyshev. Explains the Ari, is rachamim, chesed. And his talkus, in fact, is din. Okay, so now, what we've established is that the Goyin, in his discussion of his pashtus, the spreading out of light, his talkus, the removal of light, rishibai, the impression that's left after the light has been in fact removed, and chesed, that's the midah of his pashtus, the Goyin in fact has elaborated the Olam HaKudim of the Ari. That's what the Goyin has done. Interestingly enough is, even though, I mean, I've checked it, I mean, I'm sure I can check it more, but it does not seem to be based on explicit Zoyah. There are some Zoyahs that indicate that the Leshem brings here and there, but not explicit Zoyahs. Nonetheless, the Goyin is clearly basing himself, terminology-wise, on the Ari. Now, what is this Olam HaKudim? What is Olam HaKudim? Now, the Olam HaKudim, as the Ari explicitly states in the very beginning, and it's what I read to you in Chavdal Omid Gimel, the Olam HaKudim is the beginning of the creation of Atzilus. The Kelim of Atzilus, pre-Shvira, before the Shvira, the first Kelim in Atzilus, which are the most spiritual Kelim, this is Atzilus at its height. Eventually the process is going to try to fill up more Kelim. Now there's only one Kli. When the process reaches to several Kelim, then there will be the final Shvira Sakelim. But at this point in the Ari, there's no Shvira. All there is beautiful spiritual harmony. There's light, there's vessels, everything is harmonized. Baruch Hashem, total spiritual harmony. There's things that are more spiritual, like light, things that are less spiritual, like the Kelim, but there's no Shvira, there's no destruction. Everything is harmonized. This is the beginning of Atzilus, before the Shvira. This is Atzilus at its highest point. And that's how the Ari describes the Olam HaKudim. Akulim, the Kudim of Vrudim, the Kudim, the Shvi will take place in the Olam HaKudim. But that's a second stage after Akudim. Akudim is pre-Shvira. However, the alert, even the non-alert reader will notice that in the Goyin, Akudim and Shvira come together. The act of Istalkus, according to the Goyin, constitutes the Shvira. So what the Goyin is doing, he's taking the Olam HaKudim of the Ari, which was pre-Shvira, and he's combining it into the act of Shvira, so that HaKudim now does not represent only the creation of Atzilus, but represents the process by which Atzilus is initially created at the moment of creation, and then the world becomes physical with the removal of the spiritual lights, and what's left in the physical world is a neshima. As a further illustration of how the Ari understood that the Olam HaKodem is going to be something spiritual, I'm going to refer you to the Sefer Klolim of the Ramchal. This, I hope, was sent out. It's in the Reb Chaim Friedlander edition of Das Tevunos in the Sefer Klolim, Daf Resh Nun Dalet. There, the Ramchal is speaking about what the world will be in the future after Yemais Bashir. Now, we have to understand that what is Das Tevunos? Das Tevunos is a Sefer where the Ramchal took the entire spiritual process of the Ari, as one could learn it in the Yetz Chaim, and understood it to be a mashal, to be a metaphor, the Nimshal being the history of the world. Now, says the Ramchal, in the future, right, what's going to be is, in the Elf HaShvi, which means the seventh millennium, I'm reading now in the middle of the second paragraph of that Frish Nun Dalet, V'chein be'Elf HaShvi, in the seventh millennium, this is after the Mashiach comes, Sh'adai lo v'schala sh'oilam, the world now has not reached the highest spiritual level that it can possibly reach. You know, l'istach ha'guf v'shonas l'chukai, the physical part of the world, the body, doesn't have to be radically altered. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives wings to the tzaddikim, they're able to somehow glide upon the water. The holiness of the neshama will sustain the weighty physical world. Tzaddikim will not need their physical parts. Even though physical reality is not radically changed. Umushchash zeh ba'olam ha'kodem, says the Ramchal, this state where the physical, even though it still exists, is subjugated to the spiritual, this is rooted in what's called the olam ha'kodem. She'eish sham kli mamish, there is a kli, meaning, that's the metaphor. What is it referring to? There's a physical world. There's a goof. Kli is a metaphor for the goof, for the body. There is a goof, says the Ramchal Olam HaKodem, which is the seventh millennium after creation. But it's held up by the light. They spread out like a person rules in his house. And the kli is like he's like the guest. But usually, the physical in our world feels Hamish, feels at home, and spirituality feels estranged in our world. But says the Ramchal, the Elf HaShvi, it's going to be the opposite, pum fakert, is that spirituality is going to feel at home, it's going to feel Hamish, physicality will feel estranged. The Echel Levat, Shekolo Kol HaKelem B'Yatzma, one kli. So in other words, the Ramchal understood that the Olam HaKodem is a matzav, is a situation, is a state of the world where there is a harmony between the spiritual and the physical, and where in fact the physical is subjugated to the spiritual. That's Olam HaKodem. Now, the fact is that this very much agrees with the Ari in the sense that the Ari understood that Olam HaKodem represents Atzilus, represents the most spiritual world of worlds, before the beginning of physicality, before the Shvira. So in other words, HaKodem is only by definition an Atzilus. Once, according to the Ari, and according to the Ramchal, there's a Shvira, then this harmony ceases to exist, and we're left with the physical world, which is composed from the shivrei kelim, from the broken pieces of the kelim. In other words, harmony is only in the spiritual worlds. In the physical world, there's only heart, there's no harmony. There's only shivre kelim, pieces of vessels. Now, what is the chiddush of the Goyim? What is the incredible novel of the Goyim, which is revealing to us tonight, and which I'm revealing to you, dear listeners? The chiddush of the Goyim is, no, Akudim is not in Atzilus. Akudim is also in the physical world. When the Shvira ala Goyim takes place, in other words, what the Goyim has done, he's done away, he's tranced the Ali Shvira, and basically what the Ali calls is Stalkus, in the Olam and the Kodim, the Goyim calls Shvira, removal of light in a gentlemanly fashion. The light walks out, removes itself. That's called Shvira. The Roshim that's left, which in the Ali is the pre-Shvira harmony in Atzilus, that for the Goyim is the reality of our physical world. So what has the Goyim done? What the Goyim has done is, he has now parted paths with the Ari and with the Ramchal. For the Ari and the Ramchal, the spiritual harmony, the harmony only exists in the higher spiritual world. The physical world is merely broken pieces, not harmonious. Whereas for the Goyim, there is also harmony in the physical world. This harmony is subject to what? To our intellectual apprehension, as the Goyim says. The Goyim says that a person, through his Chochmah, can in fact investigate the Rishimoy, which is the impression of Chochmah, of the Chochmah which Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. And by so doing, a person can actually recover and come closer to an understanding of the Chochmah with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. The Kli can return to his Shoinus. So basically, what the Ari and the Ramchal described in Atzilus, in contradistinction to the physical world, the Goyim describes in the physical world. For the Goyim, the physical world is also filled with harmony. This harmony, this scientific nature, this mathematical and scientific structure is a principle of the physical world, which is an impression of the harmony which exists in the higher spiritual world. Whereas for the Ari and the Ramchal, there's no spiritual structure in the physical world which is an imprint of the spiritual structure in the higher world. The physical world merely contains the Shivrei Kelim, the broken pieces of vessels. There's no harmony. There's only destruction, and therefore that's what it's called Misa. It's called death. Shvira is called death. When a person dies, he decomposes. The physical world is nothing but the decomposition of the harmonious spiritual forces. Whereas for the Ari, the physical world bears the imprint of the beautiful spiritual harmony, and that by a person studying and intellectually apprehending the physical world, he can once again bring the physical world back to a state of intellectual apprehension where he's able to discover the Creator. Now, this Shita of the Goyim is very significant because we come back to the recurring theme. The Goyim is recovering rationalism. But what's interesting is, this is the post-Arizal rationalism. It's as opposed to the Rambam, which is the pre-Arizal rationalism. Now, why is the Goyim the post-Arizal rationalism and not the pre-Arizal rationalism? For the following reason. The Rambam, as you will call, in accordance with Aristotelian physics and metaphysics, understood that if you look, for example, in Chelek Gimel of the Vayelech Levuchim, Perek Yuzayin, that God's preeminent hashkacha, and this is in accordance with Aristotle, says the Rambam, is in the celestial worlds. The celestial worlds bear a perfect mathematical harmony. And for the Rambam, that was equivalent to God's hashkacha. God's hashkacha is absolute in the celestial spheres. When it comes to the physical world, right, according to Aristotle, there's no hashkacha, but there's merely general laws which are designed to perpetuate the species. So in other words, the physical world is a drop, a very strong drop in Hashkacha. Therefore, says the Rambam, God has no Hashkacha in the physical world, except for the preservation of the species. But if a leaf falls from a tree, or an insect that gets eaten by a spider, etc., etc., Kodesh Baruch Hu has no knowledge or couldn't care less, which is the same thing. That's the Shitas HaRambam. Where the Rambam disagrees with Aristotle's only respect to the human intellect. Remember, virtue of his intellect is subject to a very strong divine providence, Hashkacha. However, in other words, the Rambam, as well as Aristotle, and taken from Aristotle, understood that the essence of Hashkacha is in line with mathematical harmony, which is subject only to the higher celestial worlds. However, in the lower physical world, since there is less, at least from Aristotle, during the Rambam and Aristotle's time, during the Rambam's time, and from the Aristotelian science which he studied, which he understood the science of the day, since there was not mathematical, there was no mathematical description of the physical world, then in fact actually the Hashkacha of Kadosh Baruch Hu was less and only in the general sense. This is the Rambam. Now, the fact is that the Arizal is not much different from this, in the sense that the Arizal understands that the harmony is only in the spiritual world, and in the physical worlds, there is in fact actually less harmony. However, on the other hand though, I mean, if we understood if we interpret the Arizal as referring to God's immanence, and this certainly was the interpretation of the Baal HaTanya, and the interpretation of the Besht, then in fact, the Baal HaTanya and the Besht deny the very existence of any type of scientific determinism in the physical world, but everything exists with the complete Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if a leaf falls off from a tree, the Besht understood Elokim Devalcha Nitzav HaShamayim. This was the Shita of the Besht, and the Baal HaTanya quotes him, and he brings this as part of an attack on the philosophers who believe that somehow the world operates according to natural law, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is not actively involved. Now, the fact is that the Goyim takes the opposite side over here. The Goyim understands that no, the physical world, in fact, contains a certain harmony, a certain harmonious structure, a scientific structure, which, when studied, can bring a person to understand the Chokhmah of the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Now, if you remember 9 lectures ago, it's hard to believe that this is already the 9th lecture, you remember that I spoke about the notion of immanence, which developed in the 17th century, a la the philosophers Descartes, Malebranche, Spinoza, and others, who somehow refer to the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a body. And this body of a Kadosh Baruch Hu accounts for the mathematical structure which is inherent in the physical world. And this is in fact something which is elaborated upon in a wonderful book by Funkenstein, which I in fact actually showed you the cover of on this very, very famous, in front of this very, very camera. However, and when I explained it 9 lectures ago, I mentioned that this notion of immanence, God's omnipresence, his omniscience, his immanence in the physical world, was actually, in fact, something which was heralded by the Ari and the Kabbalah, who understood that not only is God transcendent and totally other than the world, but he reveals himself to man in relationship to his creation. This we spoke about in the very, very first lecture. However, I claim here that we have a very interesting point that is being made here by the Goy. Now, what is this point? The Goy understands, too, that the world has harmony. The Goy understands that, too. However, for the Goy, the harmony of the world, the mathematical structure of physical reality, is not, as Descartes, Malebranche, and Spinoza thought, to express the embodiment of God, of divinity within the physical world. It's not coming to tell us immanence, but rather the mathematical structure of the physical world is an impression of what once was a God being at one with his creation, that means in Atzilus, because God's open, illuminated hashkach of providence is equivalent to saying that God is at one with his creation. That means the open level of hashkach. The physical world, according to the Goyim, that we have in front of us, is a world that has structure, which is an impression of the chachma which Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Now, so in other words, the Goyim would agree that there is scientific structure to the world, but the scientific structure is not an expression of the immanence of God, but rather it's the means through which man is able to recover the original chachma and dibur and light with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our world. So the Goyim is not denying mathematical structure of the world. On the contrary, mathematical structure of the world is coming as a way of informing us of God's creation. But this informing us of God's creation, right, is only after man is able to use his intellect to scientifically analyze and explore the world, and by understanding the underlying and overarching theoretical and mathematical harmonious structure of the physical world, man then becomes conscious of, in fact, the infinite and the transcendental creator, and through this process, perhaps even a neo-Kantian type of Hermann Cohenist process, a person is actually able to go back to an understanding of the world, kifi, sheresh, v'shmotzei, as we'll explain in a while. And this, in fact, in the Goyim, as he explained actually earlier in the Sar Kalala, was revealed to Klai Yisrael in Matan Torah, through which Klai Yisrael was able to understand intellectually the first two dibros of Anochi Hashem Elokecha and V'Lo'yelecha. So we see over here that the Goyim, in fact, takes the Olam HaKodem and the metaphysical processes in Olam HaKodem of the Ri and turns it on its head. Instead of relegating that process to the world of Atzilus, the very, very spiritual worlds, the Goyim, in fact, takes these processes and uses them to explain the scientific structure of the world through which man is able to apprehend the Creator who imparted his chachma in creating the world, and who left this imprint upon the world as we view it today. This is the rationalist shita of the Goyim in his interpretation of Olam HaKodem, his interpretation of the Shvira, as explained last week. The Goyim is directing the Arizal in a rationalist path which allows for the scientific and intellectually apprehended nature of the physical world to reveal itself in its beauty, thereby allowing man to truly come, as the Rambam says in Perek Beis in Yesod HaTeva and Perek Yud in Tosafos Teshuva, to come to Avos Hashem, to the love of God. Okay, Baruch Hashem, the Goyim has given the frum Jew a reason not only to believe in science as a way of explaining the world, but in fact, given the Kabbalistic, but has given the frum Jew the Kabbalistic basis, the metaphysical basis for understanding how the sign of understanding of the physical world is necessary, through which a person can actually achieve a true understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the monotheistic tradition of Judaism. Now, I want to go a little bit further. I mentioned Descartes, Spinoza, Malebranche. There was an important reaction against these philosophers in the 18th century. I mentioned actually last week the very, very important book of Ernst Cassirer, which is called The Philosophy of the Enlightenment, where, in fact, actually scientists in the 18th century rejected the immanental theories of Descartes and Spinoza. And in a certain sense, the Goyim who lived Moyer Rabbeis in the 18th century, in spiritual terms, in theological terms, spearheaded this reaction against immanence and the proper understanding of the scientific structure of the world. I was thinking of actually going into that in a lot of detail, but I think maybe we will just begin to finish to do the second half of Klal Daled, and maybe I'll leave the historical and cultural milieu and historiography, which is intimately connected with the Gaon, for another time. Now, says the Gaon on line 118, Zeu Dugmas HaAdam, says the Gaon, this is analogous to man. In other words, the creation, the manner of creation, the way in which God's wisdom leaves an imprint on the world to be discovered by man who intellectually apprehends the scientific structure of reality, this is analogous to man, and when he says Dugmas HaAdam means man's relationship to the Torah. Says the Gaon, what does this mean? Shemitchila melamden oisei kol ha'Torah kula, lefi sichloi. Just like at the onset of creation, God's chachma and hashgacha and dibur are in one with the physical world, that the world is inundated at one with God's ultimate providence and his wisdom, so too, in the beginning of a person's existence, we teach him min ha'shamayim, kol ha'Torah kula, lefi sichloi, in accordance with his intellect. Asher goes alav abeir chacham or tipesh, because Baruch Hu might, you know, has already made a gzela that a person will either be wise or less wise. V'yachakech u'shecheich. And then that person, and this is of course done in the mother's womb. And after that person forgets. V'zeh asiluk. This forgetting of the chachmas ha'Torah which a person is taught in the womb of the mother, this is analogous to what's called the siluk, the removal of God's wisdom and providence of God's light from the physical creation. But because of the limud, which was first imparted to the child, the embryo, right, the fetus, then a man can in fact recover this limud as he forgets it later on in life. Kamosha kosu, like we say in the tefillah, the same chalkeinu b'sar secha, give us our chalik in the Torah. When did he give us our chalik in the Torah? A person cannot possibly have a chelik for the day he hasn't learned it already. But rather, the chelik that was given to us in our mother's womb grant us that we should be able to recover that chelik in the Torah. Machmas yigia b'chol yamav, because of the tremendous, because of, as a person can recover this through the toil that he will do for the rest of his days. B'chayzim mekadim shaloi, he'll go back to his initial state. Sheyamei abriya, right? This means going back to the Sheref Neshama. Now it's very interesting here that the Gaon understands that not only is there an analogy between the siluk of God's chachma hashgacha and the fetuses, the forgetting of the Torah that is learned in the mother's womb, but in addition to that, and this is actually noted in the footnote 118-119, that the Gaon understands that, in fact, actually, when a person is called, he actually combines two gemaras in the third parak of Maseches Nida, that when a person is first taught the Torah even in his mother's stomach, in the mother's embryo, in the mother's womb, that the Torah that he's taught is, not everybody's taught the Torah of the Chazanish, but a person is taught in accordance with his intellect. So a person who's not the Chazan, what the Gaon is saying, not everybody can be the Gaon. The Gaon was taught Kol HaTorah Kula in his mother's womb. But some people weren't taught Kol HaTorah Kula. The tachlis, the purpose of a person, is not to become the Gaon. I know today, in many Lifashi yeshivas, that some of the boys are given the impression that they too can become the Gaon. The Gaon is saying exactly not like that. Not everybody can become the Gaon, Rav Kiva Egel or the Chazanish. But rather, a person has to reach his potential, and his potential is actually determined by the Torah which he was taught in his mother's womb. So in fact, actually, the Gaon is saying something which is not necessarily in the Chinuch in many places, but it's emes la'amitai, not because the Gaon says it, because it's something that makes common sense, that not every person can say, well, with enough diligence, with enough hasmada, you too can become the Chazon Ish Rav Kiva Eger. What the Gaon is saying is that you too can reach your full potential, but your potential will be limited in accordance with the Gzev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will be expressed by what was taught to you in your when you were a fetus in your mother's womb. Now, goes on the Gaon and makes, in fact, a second analogy. Once again, we're making an analogy to the concept of Hispashtus and Histalkus in the creation. So the first analogy the Gaon made was to actually the Limud HaTorah within each person. But then just as this Limud HaTorah with regard to the neutral person, there's also Limud HaTorah which is revealed to Klal Yisrael, that was the Jewish people's Limud HaTorah in general. And says the Gaon on line 123, the second line at the bottom of the Yisrael Klalim, right? The Chen Ba'Torah, and the Torah in general, at the time that the Torah was revealed to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, the revelation of Har Sinai, Gila Hashem Yisboch Hu Kol HaTorah Kula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Kol HaTorah Kula, B'chol Pirateah, in all of its details, V'diktukah, and every little diktuk, how should I call diktuk in English, every nuance, the tamer, and every deeper reason, like the Gemara in Megillah says, even when a talmud vasik, a talmud in the future will express creatively in generations to come, everything was revealed at Har Sinai. I'm now on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, line 126, the second line there. After this initial revelation of Kol HaTorah Kula at Har Sinai, the Or HaTorah, the illumination of the Torah, was removed. Was left with the physical aspects of the Torah, the Sefer Torah, namely the letters themselves. V'atagin means the little light and the crowns that are on, you know, on top of the letters. The Oseus represent the Kalim, the vessels, which are to contain the Or HaChachma, that means the light of the wisdom of the Torah. Now these Kalim, these Oseus, are capable of, in fact, containing the entire Chachma of the Torah, the entire light, which was actually the state of things at the time of Revelation at Sinai. And what happens is, when this light, this spiritual light, because Baruch Hu, the Mistalik, is removed from the Oseus, from the letters of the Torah, which represent the vessels, then what's left is an imprint, a Rishimoi, in the same way that in the physical world, there was a Rishimoi of the Chokhmas HaTeva, of the scientific wisdom of God. So too, there's an impression, right, of the depth of the Torah, right, which is now left, the physical aspect of the Torah, the kalim, the vessel, namely the letters, and this is represented by the Taggit, the drosh al kol kais for lakor alayin, to actually make drushes, to expound upon every little pointed part of every letter, achi yavol hakol hachachma, until a person recovers the chachma. So the Gaon is making this beautiful analogy between recovering the wisdom with which God created the world through doing science. A person also recovers the Torah revealed at Har Sinai through learning Torah until, in fact, a person is able to once again replenish and fill up the vessels with Chachma to recover all the Chachmas of Torah. If a person merits doing this with the Erech Nishmasa in accordance with the signs of his Neshama, of his spiritual being. And since the Gaon, you should understand everything in its own way, meaning all of these analogies, because everything in the world contains this methodology, namely this process, which is called at one with its creator, at one with the Chachma, the wisdom with which it was created. Then this Histalkus, this removal of the Chachma, there remains a Rishimoi, there remains an impression, whether it be the impression in the world, which allows man to ascertain God's creation of the world through the scientific study of the world, there maintains the impression on a person from his having learned the the entire term in his mother's womb, a person can recover this and become a Talmud Chacham in accordance with the Shemesh of his Neshama. And then, of course, Klal Yisrael can recover the Chachma Satera, right? And this was the Chachma which was present, which had won with the Isis, the letters, the physical part of the Torah, where it was revealed at HaSinai after the Istalkos, after they left. What was in fact left was in fact actually the physical part of the Torah, the letters, and the Tanya represents the Rishimai, the impression that's left. And then through Beschus, if a person learns properly, then this Chachma can in fact be recovered, and the vessels can be filled once again with the Chachma Satera as it existed at the time of Revelation at Sinai. And says the Gaon, this is a general klal, a general rule, which in fact actually a person is the proper ontology by which a person looks at the existence of everything in the world. Okay, we have here a very interesting parallelism, which we've seen actually in the Gaon in previous sections. We saw it actually in Klal Gimel, that in fact, or actually I should say really, in Klal Lebeis, that in fact, the Gaon here makes a very, very interesting parallel between the scientific, the study of the scientific structure of the world, revealing the wisdom of creation, and the learning of Torah, which represents the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzon, of his will. So in fact, actually, this parallelism, which was very strongly emphasized in the Gaon, in, it's in Klal Gimel, actually comes to full force once again in Klal Dalet. Except, of course, in Klal Dalet, the Gaon has actually tuned things up by actually explicating the process which makes possible the recovery of the Chachma, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and the Chachma, which is revealed of the Torah at HaSinai. Now, the fact is that there are many very important and deep implications of this entire section, which I haven't been able to go into tonight. There was enough that we in fact actually got Baruch Hashem through the Ari and through the Rabchal and through the Gaon's in fact bifurcation and diversion from the Mahalach, from the approach of the Ari, and we explored some of the important implications. And Mirat Hashem, we will actually continue with this next week. We will go actually deeper into this scientific theological analogy, and in fact try to understand an overarching picture in which the Gaon understood the relationship here between what we would call actually ontology and ethics. Until that time, I will take leave of you, dear listeners. It's been a pleasure giving you the shiur. I want to thank again Lala for the wonderful job she did. This of course assumes that everything came out right. I just want to make notice that I haven't got any questions this week, and just as I haven't got any questions last week, I don't know if it's been a third week which establishes a chazakah, but I would very, very much perhaps want if you could actually somehow communicate on how you're doing. I realize that the shiur has become very technical and perhaps very heavy, even perhaps deep, over the last few weeks. But I feel that to properly understand the Gaon, one has to actually go into the source of the Makoros and the Arizal, and only by then we can able to flush out the true Hashkaf, the true philosophy of the Gaon, which will, Mirat Hashem, become very relevant to the way we look at the world. Until then, everybody have a nice and successful week, and Mirat Hashem to see you next Sunday. Be Ezes Hashem Yisborach.